Audit Committee meeting, and I note the presence of a quorum. First item is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting, which was held on August 5th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
No.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Motion carries. Okay, Rich, the agenda item?
Thanks, Harry. We'll start with a COVID-19 update from Eric and me. Then it'll be Alex and Lou will be discussing the ENY audit plan for 2020. Then Mary, John will provide the third quarter financial statement report. Ellen will provide the debt and investment reports, and Mary Hom will provide the reports on the HCC credit risk exposure and an internal audit report.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next item is the COVID-19 update, Eric.
Yes, thank you. So I get the highlights really broadly. You know, HCC is continuing to operate really well in this remote work environment. We've maintained all of our necessary operations in the physical office that have been kept at a minimum, and we have an internal working group that's preparing for a safe reopening at a time that's yet to be determined and is obviously moving around. We had felt like we were closer to that towards the end of the year, maybe the beginning of next year, but this surge that we're all experiencing and more across the country, but also to some extent in New York as well, I think is raising some new concerns about where we all land on that. Rich is going to talk a little bit more about the portfolio, but you know, we have to say that the corporation remains very strong. The balance sheet is very strong, but we've been very frustrated, and we've raised this in as many places as we can, with a lack of support from the federal side on multifamily and multifamily housing, and quite honestly, support for tenants. There has been, you know, a lot of moratoria on eviction, and there's been some forbearance, all of which on the multifamily side is temporary, with an expectation that tenants would negotiate to pay back their landlords and similarly to borrowers and lenders. There's been no real relief that's been passed through or even put at the end of loans. So that's been kind of a very frustrating experience. You know, Rich can probably, or Alan can say a little bit more about this, but we've been making arguments for that kind of federal funding for stabilization. The government early on did a pretty good job of responding on the income support side and on the liquidity side, particularly around some of the original bills, about $4 trillion in fiscal stimulus and about $2 trillion plus in liquidity that they can say more about. They were effective and it's uneven. In fact, some parts of the country probably got more money than they needed and other places got less. But you know, we continue to push on this, and we think that it's absolutely going to be critical. There is a rent cliff coming for a lot of households. It's been estimated early. One of our trade associations estimated 12 million households and $34 billion. I just saw another report nationally that I think Bloomberg did that's talking about $50 billion in rent that's missing and due by January. So those numbers are going even higher. And a lot of those numbers reflect what is contract rent, meaning people who have leases and haven't paid. But there's a huge amount of rent that's missing on actual vacancy, not just economic vacancy. So with that, you know, Rich, turn it over to you for more comments.
Thanks, Eric. So with respect to our specific portfolio, it is performing well, and the delinquency rate is quite low, 1 to 2%. We've offered forbearance on a handful of projects. We've definitely been working with many more as far as permitting releases from reserves and the like. So that has definitely been a part of the overall picture. But generally, the portfolio is performing well. The other thing that I would say is that on the capital market side, that we've had good access to capital. Interest rates generally are low. You know, we're both an issuer and an investor. So the low rate environment is helpful for us as an issuer, and it's less so as an investor. You'll see that our investments continue to perform well, but we are definitely starting to experience a decline in income. With respect to the broader issues that Eric was talking about regarding tenancy and the role for landlords, you know, we'll continue to be involved in that, in trying to come up with solutions and to work with our borrowers, but also as our overall advocacy for multifamily housing, because I think, you know, Eric kind of touches on how important it is and how on some level it has been left out in a lot of the process. But the good news is that, you know, the delinquency levels and the actual the rental shortfalls are relatively low in our projects. That may change. It's something that we're constantly paying attention to. But overall, and where we really see problems tend to be smaller projects and ones that don't have much other governmental assistance. You know, where there's Section 8, that's been really helpful. For some of our projects, they don't have that. And as I said, with smaller projects, it's even tighter. So overall, the picture continues to be okay, but we are definitely continuing to be concerned and to make ourselves available to our borrowers.
Good. Thank you, Rich. Okay, the next item is the E&Y audit plan. Lou?
Good afternoon, everyone. Alex should be on board to flip the slides by sharing his screen. If I could turn your attention to the second slide, which is actually page one. It's our executive summary. Just a few things to highlight. So what's new for this year? Obviously, the COVID-19 impact, the impact not only on the business, as Eric and Rich described, but also on our audit strategy, and I'll get into that. The other item that's new is a new GASB statement, GASB Statement 84, which has to do with the presentation of fiduciary activities. So you have the OPEB trust, that's a funded irrevocable trust, and that's considered a fiduciary activity, as well as some deposits that the corporation holds. So they will be reported as a separate statement behind the general statements. But it's all one report, so we'll be opining on those separately. As far as it relates to the audit process, so our team has started walkthroughs, and we're in a completion phase of our walkthroughs of all the significant processes, and we'll be making our selections for the year-end audit testing. So the question is, well, how are we going to do all of this in a remote environment? So we have made a commitment over the past few years, actually, to invest heavily in technology. And one of the ways that we've been successful, and I could tell you that I've had some June 30 year-end audits where we started the audit and issued by September 30th, all in a remote environment. So we have a way to share documentation in a secured manner through our client portal. So it's a portal that each one of the process owners who typically would provide us the documentation have access. We grant them access to upload files directly into our audit platform. We're also expanding the use of data analytics. Last year, we applied data analytics over the journal entries to help us identify whether or not there's any unusual types of journal entries that are made. This year, we're going to look at doing like a correlation of the loans receivable as well as the debt payments. So basically looking for, you know, once we understand the process, which we do, right, typically you would have your loan, you would set up a receivable, and the cash would be applied to that receivable. And we could map that through a correlation. And if there's any areas where that's not processing in that fashion, it would kick that out as an exception, and we can focus our audit efforts on those types where there's issues. So with respect to the plan itself and timing, we are planning to issue by the 29th, which is 90 days after your year end. So we do not anticipate any changes to that time frame. We'll take you through our areas of audit emphasis and then our required communications as part of this presentation for the audit plan phase. So the next page is just a summary of our audit services. They haven't changed from the prior year, so we issue opinions on the financial statement of the corporation, The Schedule of Federal Awards, also known as the Uniform Guidance or the Single Audit. There's the Corporation Schedule of Investments that's required under the PAAA. And then to the extent that we identify any deficiencies or material weaknesses or any other types of recommendations, we would prepare a document to present to the Audit Committee as well as management. And we also perform attestation procedures over the corporation's servicing functions. And they will all be issued in the same date. So the next page, a slide that you haven't seen before, and it's not to alarm anybody, but with COVID here, some things that we need to consider as part of planning the audit and throughout the course of the audit. So what are the effects on HDC's business? You know, is there a decrease for borrowings, or is there an inability to collect from the borrowers? Fortunately, to hear the good news, your portfolio has been performing well. So at this point, there doesn't seem to be any issues with respect to collectability. But again, as Rich mentioned, that could change down the road. The overall risks with the corporation shifting to working in a remote environment, so there could be increased cyber threats. I actually had a meeting with Paul and Kathy last Friday to talk about some of the risks around cyber and whether or not there's any, you know, unusual activity or any breaches. So there's nothing there that alarms me from an audit perspective. To the extent that there's any risks of violating any debt covenants, you know, most of the time there's different types of ratios that borrowers have to meet. So that would be something that could affect an agency. Then there's account-specific factors. There could be revenue recognition, collectability assumptions that we have to look at. For a governmental entity such as HDC, there wouldn't be any going concern issues that we would have. But as things evolve, you might want to consider looking and challenging at any financial statement disclosures or subsequent events as they progress throughout the audit. And then lastly, you know, considerations impacting our audit. I think we're going to be good. Again, I mentioned we've had the experience in working with a number of clients in a remote environment, and we've already performed some walkthroughs with management, so they seem to progress quite well. Again, we'll have to challenge the estimates for collectability on loans. And then also, as part of our understanding of the internal control process, has there been any changes in internal controls or, you know, segregation of duties as a result of people working from home? The next pages are areas of emphasis. These are the significant processes as well as significant accounts. I'm not going to go through each one of these. These are pretty consistent with last year. Based on our review of the preliminary financial statements for Q3, we did not identify any other significant accounts that would come into scope. So we should be focused on the same areas as last year. And as it relates to required communications, we're required to communicate certain items at the planning phase as well as the conclusion of the audit. So as far as our terms of the engagement, consistent with the prior year, I've reviewed the executive summary and areas of audit emphasis. There are no other significant issues that we discussed with management. We do not have any matters that would, impact our independence. And as it relates to risks of material misstatement, fraud, or noncompliance with laws and regulations, those are inquiries that we make of management throughout the course of the audit. And then to the extent that we would find anything, especially with respect to fraud, we would reach out to the audit committee to inform you of those such items. And then lastly, I don't know if we had this in time for our audit results last year, but this is our peer review report, which was finalized last November, but I don't think we received it until December or January. So that is a copy of our auditor audit, which is a clean opinion. It's a pass, a rating of a pass. So with that, I'd be happy to address any questions that you might have.
Any questions? There being none, we'll move on to the next item, which is the third quarter financial report. Mary John.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm pleased to present you with a summary of the corporation's third quarter financial statements covering the period November 1, 2019 through July 31st, 2020. We remain optimistic as the corporation's financial activities continue to exhibit few negative effects from the ongoing economic downturn caused by the coronavirus. However, as these conditions persist, we maintain our diligence in closely monitoring economic activity, which can potentially present downside risks to future profitability. The most positive indicator were mortgage loan repayments, which continue to remain close to pre-pandemic levels, with few requests for forbearances. Adversely, investments have produced lower earnings due to the decline in interest rates during the same period. The financial activities of the first 9 months of the fiscal year resulted in an increase in net position by $194.1 million, a 6.2% increase from a year ago. Total revenues were $519.6 million, a 1.2% increase over the same period last year. Interest on loans was $366 million, an increase of $35.3 million or 10%, as a result of an increase in mortgage portfolio by $1.7 million. Fees and charges were $55.2 million, a decrease of $14.7 million or 21%, mainly due to lower origination fees as a result of fewer loan closings compared to the same period last year. Including the fair market valuation, were at $77.8 million. Decrease of $28.9 million at 27%. As of July 31st, total assets were $22.9 billion, including $17.2 billion in mortgages and loan participation interest. Investments were at $5.3 billion. Total assets increased by $1.3 billion, or 6.1%, mainly due to $2.2 billion in mortgage loan advances, offset by $484 million in principal repayments. Total liabilities were at $19.6 billion, including $13 billion in bonds and other debt obligations. Bond and debt obligation issuances were at $1.3 billion, while repayments were at $999 million. Debt position at the end of the period was at $3.3 billion, an increase of $194.1 million, or 6.2% from operating activities. This concludes my remarks. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay, again, there being none, we'll go on to the debt report from Ellen.
Okay, thanks. So the corporation's debt report as of September 2020. The last debt report presented to the Audit Committee was as of June 30th, 2020. During this time, the corporation issued seven resolution bonds totaling $532.9 million. There are bond redemptions in two series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $75.5 million and one standalone bond series in the amount of $24 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of September 30, 2020 is approximately $13.1 billion, and the corporate statutory debt capacity was increased from $14.5 billion to $15.5 billion on April 3, 2020. Any questions?
Okay. Again, there being none. Ellen, the next item is the investment report.
Okay, thank you. Corporation investment report is as of October 5th, 2020. The funds under management total approximately $2.5 billion, and this report reflects routine investment activity. Any questions?
Okay. There being none, the next item is the report on the HTC credit risk exposure from Murray Hunt.
Thank you. The report before you is dated September 30, 2020, and the previous report to the audit committee was dated June 30, 2020. There were no new additions to the list of counterparties, and there were no rating agency actions of note. HDC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with its largest exposures continuing to be with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Investments rated AA or higher were 48% of total investments versus 55% at the last report, and investments rated BBB or not rated were 28% of total investments, unchanged since the last report, and these investments are fully collateralized by high-quality U.S. Treasury and agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HDC exposure to liquidity providers was up $50 million since the last report due to the issuance of the 2020 Series E and F2 bonds in August. Any questions?
Any questions? No. There being none, then we'll go on to the internal audit report.
Thank you. Since the last report to the audit committee on August 5th, the records retention audit was completed. The objectives of this audit were to ensure there are current and effective record retention policies and procedures, to assess if records are archived in accordance with set schedules and do not exist beyond their planned destruction date, to evaluate the current off-site record storage contract and invoices for compliance and billing accuracy, to determine if there is an off-site records inventory that is accurate, up-to-date, and reviewed at least annually, and to ensure all record-keeping systems and storage facilities are protected from unauthorized access. Upon completion of this audit, we noted that opportunities exist to improve records retention protocols and the associated internal controls. While state-mandated protocols are followed, we recommend that written policies and retention schedules be updated. In addition, we recommend that employee training tools be developed to help employees identify what constitutes a record and how employees should be retaining such records. Our focus was on the retention of physical records, and a more thorough review of electronic records retention will be performed at a later time. We note that with the shift toward electronic documentation, the need for off-site storage of physical files is expected to wane over time. Any questions?
Okay. No questions. Next item is other business, which will include the comments on the Moody's presentation. Rich or Ellen?
Yes, sure. Ellen, so in September, we made a presentation to Moody's. It's their annual visit where they come to just get an update on the corporation. And we presented them the presentation on both Moody's and ECC and REPIC. And that's what's included in your okay? If you have any questions, you can let us know.
And there were no major issues raised by the rating agencies, and so we had a, what you'd say, a clean meeting.
Yeah, when do we get the AAA?
There's certain risks to that, and that's part of the reason why we haven't sought it out, but we're sort of happy in our little AA spot. It's nice, and it's all good.
Okay.
It's the hard way that without a rating, we kind of could do a lot of things that we can't quite do right now with respect to how we're lending as a CDFI.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it changes, right. Exactly.
It changes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Any other business? Okay.
I mentioned regarding cybersecurity that what we're starting to see are a lot of breaches. And some of it is because there's just a lot of volume of money out there, and there's maybe a target on CDFIs in particularly. But where we see the breaches is at the level of contractor payment requests. The wiring instructions are corrupted, and so that's how the money is being diverted. It's pretty significant. One that we caught would have screwed up the project significantly. Neither the contractor nor the developer realized, and quite frankly, it was the bank that caught it, even on our end. So I think that this is worth noting or informing the industry to be especially careful.
We
have layers of, you got to call, you, even the call, the people said yes, because it all seems okay, but it wasn't. So extra careful.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, and I think we tried to do reminders to our borrowers. It's included on the bill itself, but we had a similar experience, and it wasn't really at our level. It was really at theirs that they were being redirected. So I think you're right. It is a difficult thing, and it's something that we're very conscious of, and we've done trainings, and we're encouraging people to do that as well. And we described cybersecurity because you're right, it's just such a big challenge, and there's a lot of phishing going on.
And unfortunately, it's going to get worse, not better, as these people get more clever as to how about stealing. Any other items? Okay, there being none, then I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn. Second. Second, all in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. The Audit Committee meeting is adjourned.